Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Oh no, not this again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. British Airways just avoided one strike. Now it could have another. Thousands of ground crew members are threatening to walk off the job. They rejected the airline's latest pension offer. A couple weeks ago, the airline canceled hundreds of flights after a strike threat by flight attendants. British Airways just started a new policy this morning about checked luggage. Let's check in with Stephen Beard about this. Stephen, what's the deal?
Under the new rule, passengers will be allowed one free piece of luggage weighing no more than 50 pounds. Now, a traveller with an extra bag will be required to pay an extra £240. That's getting on for $500.
What?
To take that extra bag on a long-haul return flight. I mean, it might even on some flights be cheaper to buy another ticket and persuade somebody to fly with you just to get your extra bag on board.
Good grief. What are people saying about this?
Well, as you can imagine, people are incredulous, frankly. The airline does point out that there are many exemptions. For example, if you're flying to the States or to Canada or other countries, pregnant women, the elderly, the disabled, in fact, anybody that can successfully persuade the person at the check-in desk that they cannot carry one 50-pound piece of luggage will be allowed to take two.
What is the airline officially saying about the policy?
The airline says, somewhat mysteriously, that this new policy has been introduced to comply with new health and safety regulations designed to protect baggage handlers. But the airlines come under a hail of criticism and derision over this. Nevertheless, the chief executive, Willie Walsh, says a policy of charging for excess baggage has existed in the airline industry since the Wright brothers, he says, and we're not changing that.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. A drop in oil prices brought down oil stocks yesterday, and the Dow lost 28 points to 12,552. The S&P 500 was down 4 to 1433. The NASDAQ dropped 9 points to 2450. Oil is trading below $58 a barrel this morning. You know, the Dow hasn't had as much as a 2% dip since last July. That's the longest stretch since the 1950s. I'm sure on Wall Street they're saying, if that's wrong, I don't want to be right. But they still call it a correction for some reason. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The market's due for a correction any day. So says Mark Arbiter, chief technical strategist at Standard & Poor's. One indicator? He says lately there's been 50% more volume going into the NASDAQ than the New York Stock Exchange over a three-week period. And when the same things happened in the last few years...
That's led to fairly decent-sized pullbacks and corrections of 7 to 8% in the S&P 500 and 13 to 17% in the NASDAQ.
But Al Goldman, chief market strategist at AG Edwards, is more optimistic.
The market has had a long trip, but I do not see the irrational exuberance that you normally see when a market has gotten to a level where a correction is imminent.
He says a correction will come, but only when it's least expected. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Guys, if you've ever bought diamonds for Valentine's Day or any other day, you know about the pressure. Not the pressure that makes the diamonds, the pressure of picking the right one. Without going into Chapter 7. There's a company near Boston that's offering an alternative, diamonds made in a lab. WBUR's Kurt Nickish reports.
Normally with diamond rings, the rock is millions of years older than the setting, but Thalia Viticos has a sort of ring reversal. Her band is from the 1920s. The diamond is from 2006.
A baby diamond, one that's less than a year old. This diamond actually has a birth date.
On the 11th of July last year, her gem-quality stone came out of the lab of Apollo Diamond. CEO Bryant Linares says his company grows them in a sort of pressure cooker.
We start off with a thin sliver of real diamond, and we rain carbon atoms down on that chip of diamond to create the diamond crystal, growing it one atom at a time.
And in a few weeks, a diamond is born. It sells for 15% less than a mined one. At Bostonian Jewelers, Alexandria Matosian says Apollo diamonds are changing that old gemstone maxim, you get what you pay for.
For the same amount of money, you'll be able to get a larger stone. You'll get 15% more than what you pay for. That makes sense.
It has for her buyers, who tend to have environmental or ethical concerns about the conventional industry. It got bad publicity recently from the movie Blood Diamond.
Now in America, it's bling bling, but out here, it's bling bang.
Still, the mined diamond industry is defending its crown jewels. It just asked the Federal Trade Commission to call this new breed of diamonds synthetic, hoping to stigmatize the lab product. Martin Rappaport writes on the diamond market.
Jewelers are concerned because they're afraid that consumers will be confused and the value of diamonds may be harmed. I think that concern is legitimate.
Even so, Rappaport says demand for the gemstone is booming and lab-grown diamonds represent an opportunity.
If jewelers have showcases and they can put an additional product category in those showcases and sell them to consumers, why not do that?
Rappaport thinks diamonds from the earth will always be more prized than those from the lab, though consumer Thalia Viticos considers her manufactured one no less sparkling.
You know, I've seen lots of mined diamonds. In fact, that's the only thing I've ever seen. And this diamond just stood up to all of them.
And if more of the market ends up standing where she is on the product, lab-grown diamonds might be just as forever. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nikisch for Marketplace.
Did you know the custom of giving tokens of love on February 14th started in England and France in the 14th century? I think they opened the first Hallmark soon after that. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.